Welcome to Waldman's Words with my buddy McKinley Kitts from the band Floor. We're going to have him on in a few minutes. And I just want to talk to you guys about my honeymoon coming up. I'm going to Asia. I've never been to Asia. My wife, take my wife, please. Crickets. She decided to take care of the majority of the booking. And by majority, I mean everything. So we land in actually Tokyo. And originally we were going to fly to Vietnam. And I was like, nah, nah. We're hanging out in Tokyo for a few nights. So I watched your Dreams of Sushi. And I'm going to have some sushi. I heard that when you're walking around Japan, you can't eat or drink. I just learned this. You're supposed to keep walking. It's rude. And it's also rude when you're waiting on a subway to have your frontal region out. We were talking about dick and balls the other day, but like your front region out, you have to actually face ass to passenger body. No one wants to talk or look at anyone. I'm looking forward to these vending machines with underoos. And I'm just happy about life. I'm going to Vietnam. I'm going to Cambodia. Now I guess to the stuff that really matters. On Waldman's Words, this year we just started the show and we've had guests like Kevin Lyman on the show. We have had Kim Shattuck from the Muffs. I'm really excited because we normally focus on the industry end, but today we have a talent named McKinley who is a really, really good eater. And I enjoy his company, and I think that the acerbic witty banter is going to be unparalleled. Keep going to Waldman's Words on Twitter, Instagram, our website, and just in general, it's been a great year for Boomtown Crooks, formerly Zach James, who's the first guest. He will eventually be on, even though we recorded him. It's kind of like, you know, when you watch a show with DVD commentary, because the first show wasn't great, so we're going to be probably talking about that. Candy Hearts was on the show, Film Speed, Craig was on it, Kevin from Mirror Eyes will be on the show. McKinley's actually a fan of Mirror Eyes, which is pretty sweet. And I'm just really happy about this year. 2016 is awesome. I hope you all have an incredible 2017. I hope you all go to Asia with me. I know my wife will be stoked on that. We have plenty of room in our hotel room. And just enjoy these commercials, enjoy life, and enjoy Waldman's Words with McKinley Kitts in a few minutes. Hello. Dan actually just pointed to himself to start, which is pretty awesome. This is Waldman's Words. My name is Scott Waldman. I'm a Pisces. To my left, we've got McKinley Kitts from the band Floor. Say what up.
Hey, my name is McKinley. I have cancer. I am cancer.
Whoa.
I am a cancer.
We're starting this show off quite sick. Get it?
Let me start over.
Nope. No. We got to keep it. This is what it is. So basically, this is how 2017 is going to be. Stammering and sick jokes.
I'm already sweating.
I know. Well, you are wearing a sweater.
It is November.
I know, but we're in California.
Yeah.
It was funny. If you could see him, he went like this.
Yeah.
All right, so this show's going to be fucking awesome.
Oh, God.
So, Mr. Kitts, how did we meet?
Do you want to, like, have my version without you, and then you'll tell your version? Should we be in separate rooms for it?
No, I'll be in the same room, but you could pretend. You could do that earmuffs thing that they do, and I just won't be able to hear you.
So the way I remember it is I was 18, playing in Los Angeles at the Roxy.
I love 18-year-old boys.
And, I know, that's why I traveled down to Morgan, so you could see me.
Yep.
And I was walking by the front, and this guy is collecting cans out of a dumpster.
Yep, that's me.
But then he pulls out an acoustic guitar and starts playing.
The first part of that story is so true.
Okay, so he wasn't collecting cans, yeah, but he was playing acoustic guitar.
That's true.
And what did I? It's something about power chords.
No, you're like, are you playing bar chords?
Did I become Dutch at some point?
Hello? No, like they did on South Park. No, I was playing some bar chords, and you were just like this happy guy, I think, who just played there with, was it Honor Society?
We were opening for Honor Society on their like their West Coast tour. And I was a happy guy. That was before reality.
You got jaded, really. Bitter.
That was years ago.
That was before you learned you had cancer. So
that was before I hit my 20s.
Wow. Well, yeah, 18, that's how it happens with age. Mm-hmm. And I guess 20s are the time that people just experience crippling self-doubt.
Yeah, it gets worse every year.
I know. Well, that's honestly the objective of this show, is to be as pessimistic as possible about life.
Well, I'm going to fit right in.
Yeah, it's perfect. You're a Jew at heart. So basically...
I think... Can I say that?
Or
that...
You can, but I don't advise it.
I know your Twitter bio?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, Jew at heart.
Jew at heart emoji.
Oh, it's going to totally work out well for you. I mean, well, open racism worked out for our current president. Anyway, I digress. So I met McKinley. I was actually performing, and he had performed a legit venue, and I was playing outside. I just started.
Hey, man, who makes a decision of legit? You know, like who gets to make that call?
K-Rock.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
So I was playing. I think I had just quit the City Drive, and I started Lido Beach. And regardless, I met McKinley. He was a nice guy. We became Facebook friends, and that is the hallmark to a successful friendship. And then flash forward to years later, he actually lived in L.A., and we were walking outside of Guitar Center with cans, you know, because we just like
cans.
We each
were collecting our respective cans.
Yeah, it was honestly, he had more Campbell's soup cans, and I had, like, Hormel beef chili cans.
I was going with, like, the empty cans for recycling. Are we talking about full cans of food now?
You were being generous by giving people cans, and I was trying to get the 5-cent deposit on the cans. So basically, I met him again, and we reacquainted, and we started hanging out a bit, and, you know, now he's here on this show, so high five.
Well, there's more things in between. You introduced me to, not Lebanese, what is it, Middle Eastern food? Is
yes,
that kind of a...
damn right I did, and he actually, all he does is talk about this now. It was Persian food.
Persian food. Although,
with non-rude servers and very unattractive wait staff.
They're always so pretty and so mean.
That usually goes hand in hand.
Just like my mother.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, your mom is mean bitch, dude. I hope she's
watch
not
your mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've never even met his mom, but I bet that she is a lovely poison just based on the fact that she made
she's
you.
A saint. But anyways, back to the Persian food.
Yes.
He had me get the lentil soup, and I've never really understood it. And I went to a Ralph's afterwards and bought about 15 boxes.
You're welcome.
And it turns out the boxed lentil soup from Ralph's isn't as good as authentic handmade.
What?
Lentil soup. Man, you're just... pop that mic.
Well, it was worth it for that high-pitched vibrato soprano.
But I've gone through almost every box.
Oh, you're a lentil taste tester. You could start a blog.
It's lentil soup blog. Where
totally.
I review boxes of lentil soup.
I would read it.
So far, it's 0 out of 10 for everything aside from that person.
Except for Shamshuri's lentil food. No, there's this dude right now, John Sudano, who's got a big neck beard, who sings All-Star over lots
I love
of
that
he's
guy.
Amazing, but it he just does it over and over,
like,
for
the Evanescence
Bring It Alive.
Yeah, oh god, that guy's great.
He does it over Creep by Radiohead. He does over Adele's Hello. So you could be like that for lentil soup.
I could become a meme.
You already are a meme.
It's true.
You're like one of those memes of, like, the Trump supporters.
God, why does every... I have so many people say that to me without even knowing who I am.
That's it.
I've had random people be like, you look like you voted for Trump.
That is not a compliment. Or it is. It depends.
Man. My gut tells me they're being rude.
I mean, here...
And that's just another white guy, like, in a frat. He's like, bro, you look like you voted Trump.
Dude, freaking Sigma Alpha Epsilon supports you and Trump.
Actually, more of a Gamma Phi guy, but...
Jamma Vibrator. That's I remember that like every single
Jamma Vibe.
Well, they all have nicknames, the frats and sororities. Like,
I didn't go to college, I don't actually know.
That shows every time you talk. It's like, it's crazy. All right.
I voted Trump.
Yeah, totally. A vote for Trump is a vote for the persons. So anyway, so we met, we re-met, we hang out sometimes. It's great every time. Now, you're a boy from Oregon. Talk to me about that, and how did that shape your music? Look, we're going to talk about music.
I don't want to correct you, but I'm actually a man from Oregon.
You don't want to, but you just did. That's like when someone says, you know what, this might offend you, but you're the worst person ever.
No offense.
No offense.
But I am a man. But
you
anyways,
are a man.
I'm a man from Oregon.
Damn right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We can move on.
Okay, let's move forward. So, but... when you were born a young man.
I wasn't a boy when I was born. That's okay.
When you were born, you had like as much scruff as you do right now, and you were wearing a Kacey Musgraves sweater. Was she around then?
She was probably like, I think she's only a couple of years older than me.
Wow.
So she was a toddler somewhere in the South, I would imagine.
Well, now I'm going to correct you. If she's a few years older than you, she's technically a... what is a toddler? Isn't a toddler like a few months? Or is that
I think
a few
it gives you some wiggle room. A toddler can be anything from like a year to like... 4 or 5 years, I feel like.
Wow.
I mean, that's, yeah.
I thought it was
a weasel
like,
word. It gives you some room.
Okay, I'll take it. Like, yeah, the word kid means a dinosaur. Not dinosaur. Oh, my God. A kangaroos. A kangaroos.
Like, just like the word kid means dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Exactly like that, Scott. Exactly like
Listen,
that.
Man. On Waldman's words, we like to teach the wrong thing. Okay, so you grew up in Colorado as a young woman. Talk to me about that.
It's 2016, man. I don't put a label on it.
Okay.
I'm just a person.
Okay, that's true. Gender neutral.
That's right. About,
so when you were a young human.
Thank you. I would love to, even that is like a little too specific.
I'm sorry. A young
entity.
A young living creature. Whoa. Did you just get a tweet? I don't know what's going on right now.
That was a nice sound. Anyways, so yeah, so growing up in Oregon as a young person.
Yes. Well, whoa, person, that's a little bit too specific.
We can't win.
As a young heart breathing. Okay, fine, fuck it, go. Oregon. Everyone listening right now is going to think we're stoned. There's a difference between marijuana and meth. This is a very different show.
You can mix them, you know.
Yeah, oh my God, methawana.
It's a good band now.
Damn right, let's do it.
I have to go, I have an idea.
That's fine. I did 2 minutes instead of 3 minutes in the beginning, so we got plenty of time to jam out. All right, Spurious, Oregon. Let's talk about it. I love Oregon, despite the fact that they didn't allow black people in till late.
It's like, I think it was like 1890s, maybe.
Bygones be bygones.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. We've like gone above and beyond since then.
That's true. It's pretty progressive now.
Yeah, we legalized weed. I think we're like the second state, maybe after Colorado.
Wow.
And Washington followed suit. Oregon's kind of my
California too.
Yeah, congrats, California, finally figuring it out.
We did it. So Oregon's economy is 100% marijuana-based and wood, right? And lumber?
Yeah, also Nike.
Oh.
And a lot of like computer chips.
Apple chips?
Like baked apple chips.
Oh, my God, those are so good, dude.
What's the big software company, like, aside from Apple and Microsoft? Somebody help me out here.
IBM?
Something like that. It starts like Intel.
Intel?
Intel, yeah. I think they make Intel chips or something in Oregon.
You live, you learn.
But yeah, weed, wood, Nike.
Weed, wood, Nike.
Intel
those are the,
chips.
You know how like New York's the Big Apple? Oregon's like weed, wood, Nike.
Intel.
Come to Oregon, Portlandia, keep it weird. So you grew up in Oregon and you started playing music at what age?
I think I got my first bass from a pawn shop when I was going into high school. So I would.
So chances are your bass belonged to someone who was strung out or like down on their luck.
Undoubtedly. The weird thing was, I remember I'm from a really small town, so there was only one pawn shop, and there was three of the same bass. So I think there was a story there, but I was too busy trying to learn bass to figure it out.
How are you at the bass? Are you playing bar chords on that bass?
I'm pretty bad.
Okay.
I never really got good at bass. It turned out I wanted to write music rather than just play an instrument.
Okay.
It was harder for me to write songs on bass.
Tell that to Paul McCartney, buddy.
What has he done recently?
Yeah, that's true. Recently. What has he done? That's a really good point. Oh, yeah, Mick Jagger. Yeah.
Paul McCartney did a really sick mannequin challenge with a Black Beatles song by Ray Sremmurd.
I mean, that's definitely the highlight of his musical career.
How do you top that?
You can't.
But no, I switched to guitar pretty quick because it was easier for me to write songs on.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of your first song?
Oh, man. Something super dark.
I had one called Lightning Only Strikes Once. That was my first song.
Really?
Yeah. Met a girl at a hotel in Reno. I had never been to Reno.
What do you rhyme Reno with? Casino?
No, I didn't rhyme it. It was slam. You read then that she was the one. It was actually like more of storytelling.
Oh, so you're a poet.
A laureate. Bob Dylan was a Jew.
The best ones were?
Were. The best ones aren't anymore. If you leave it. Judaism, the fastest leaving religion. No, stop it. Mom, if you're listening, I swear I married Kelly. She's a nice Jewish girl. We're moving forward. We live together now. All right.
We're going to Tokyo.
So you were in a band. We don't have to discuss that specifically because your new band, I think, is infinitely better.
Thank you.
I do.
But the good thing is, or the relevant thing I would say, is that we it's the same guys. So three of us went to middle school and high school together.
That's
a tiny
amazing
town in the mountainous
Hood River?
Hood River, Oregon, nestled at the base of Mount Hood.
I did my research.
Yeah. The goal is to get onto the Wikipedia page for notable residents.
Or the Wall of Fame in your high school.
My music teacher really hated me. I don't feel like that would happen.
Yeah, but he'll be dead by then.
He is retired, actually, I think.
See?
I can just go do it myself.
Do it. You're right on it. Well, you know who went to my... Billy Crystal went to my high school. That was the
I don't know who that is.
Can you... What? You don't know who Billy Crystal is? Dan, do you know who Billy Crystal... Okay, good. Dan doesn't even have a microphone. He knows who Billy Crystal is. Billy Crystal...
As if having a microphone makes you know.
Yes, it makes you... I mean, listen to Trump. He had a mic...
And he knows who Billy Crystal is?
I guarantee you Billy Crystal would not make a good president. And Ben Carson said, you know what, I'm not going to do this because I don't have political experience. Anyway.
Wait, so who is Billy Crystal?
Billy Crystal hosted the Oscars. Billy Crystal was on SNL. He's a hugely successful comic actor. Was in City Slickers. Have you heard of that?
Nope.
All right. Well, this might be my last show, but because
I think I'm aging myself. I'm sorry.
No, no. I mean, I am aging myself and you're just America. So you started a Billy Crystal cover band and then you changed to Floor. Did you move to L.A. before Floor?
We moved to Pasadena as our other band and kind of figured things out there.
Okay. So by the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, actually pretty close to the Rose Bowl,
right,
which I go to for their flea market.
Is that the Sunday thing, right?
Yeah, it's like once a month or something. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah, no, Kelly always talks about that, and I'm like, what?
it's a lot of fun. Food's bad, but the shopping's...
Is it like food truck food, or is
Yeah, it's like you'd think that they would like get some cool places in, but it's mostly just... it's worse than food truck, sorry. It's like carnival food.
Oh, dude, I was just in like Texas at the state fair, and I had, yeah, it was cool.
God, that sounds good.
It did until you ate. Corey, my buddy, had a Krispy Kreme burger.
Oh.
But he said it was one of the worst burgers he's ever had. Like, the meat was made by someone who probably shouldn't cook.
But the idea is...
sweet and savory.
You ever had a deep-fried Twinkie?
Yes.
Oh, brother. Deep-fried Oreo?
Deep-fried anything is usually good, but they sold deep-fried butter.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, dude. Know you can't see, but his eyes just fell out.
I mean, it sounds good, I think. It's not like a whole stick of butter, is it?
It's a whole stick of butter.
It's got to be like you have to like sign a
heart waiver.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of legal issue there.
I mean, people go to McDonald's. They order shit all the time.
McDonald's doesn't sell deep-fried sticks of butter, though.
That's what the French fries are. No, McDonald's is trying to make their menu more health conscious. I don't think... Gas!
Wait, I know we've been going in this healthy direction, but hear me out.
No one's buying these acai bowls from us, so we got to do what made us famous.
We need to go back to our roots.
Their roots of
diabetes. We need to make
McDonald's
great again.
Oh, well, I mean, wear a red hat. All right. So Los Angeles, Pasadena. Talk about, I guess, the inception of Flora, because stylistically, it's so weird going to this serious transition when we're talking about fried butter, but you guys sound, I mean, you're three quarters the same, but it sounds like completely different humans.
Well, we are. So our drummer, we got off Craigslist. We were going to murder him, decided not to.
A missed connection?
you were there on the tracks. The hair shaved sides of your head.
You were wearing a death cab for cutie shirt, and I could hear Soul Meets Body permeating from your headphones. I didn't have the audacity to talk to you, but now I'm hoping you'll look at this random blog I'm writing.
That's exactly what happened. So he joined a band, actually, when we were the old band. So it's actually been the same four of us.
It's amazing.
Technically. And then we moved to Pasadena, and we had two singers, myself and Zach. And Zach started writing these like different songs using a program called Fruity Loops, which is basically like a... How do I say that being like rude? It's like not childlike. It's just like a amateur. Like,
no matter what, it's gonna sound childlike.
I mean, it's like a very basic recording program that's like made so it's simple to like. I mean, obviously, if you want to, you can really get good at it
by getting Frosty Flakes.
It's just like a way to like be introduced to like recording software.
So is it kind of like Bandcamp? Not Bandcamp. Oh my God, GarageBand. Sorry.
Yeah, except I would say even more basic and like simpler to understand than that. So he started like building like these weird little synth parts and like little percussion loops on Fruity Loops, and then he just was writing these songs and they're really cool. And we were like, let's kind of roll with this. And that's how Floor got started. He just started writing his own music. And
so it just, your old one just never really broke up. You just kind of evolved into this?
Yeah, there was no, it just kind of...
There's no hiatus Facebook post.
No, there was never a Facebook post. I think I went back recently and I was like, hey, check out our song on some MTV show. So we never really even said anything. Just kind of, but it worked out really, really nicely. The transition.
You graduated.
Was, yeah, the transition was really nice, and haven't looked back.
Well, I like it. I'm happy with what you guys are doing. I know that you signed to Fueled by Ramen.
Yeah, we signed with them this year.
That's insane. And you toured with Halsey.
Yeah, and both those things are pretty... I mean, for me, I grew up listening to pretty... like, exclusively Fueled by Ramen bands. Like, you know how iTunes has, like, the top 25 most played?
Yep.
Mine would have been, like, 90% Fueled by Ramen bands.
So, like, Fall Out Boy, Paramore...
Fall Out Boy. Panic at the Disco.
And then back to Fall Out Boy.
And then more Fall Out Boy. Okay. And some Paramore in there.
What do you think, besides Floor, is your favorite underrated band from that Fueled by Ramen scene? Because I was really into Forgive Durden.
I didn't know them. I mean, where do we draw the line of underrated? Like, would the Academy is be underrated?
I think they're too big to be underrated.
Okay.
But they're good. I just saw William Beckett perform in Texas.
Yeah, I would... Man, that's tough then. Because I guess I honestly don't even know a lot of the smaller ones.
Okay.
But like, they never like broke in the same way.
The Academy was never ginormously mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, they were like 21 Pilots level or anything.
I've never heard of them. I was talking about this the other day. I saw them at the Troubadour.
Seriously?
I saw 21 Pilots, their very first Los Angeles show.
Were they headlining?
Yes. And it was sold out. And I just knew. I was like
400 kids.
400 sweaty kids going nuts. And no, I mean, that band could walk around without security. Like, they...
And now they're the biggest alternative band in the world.
I think they honestly are, which is pretty wild.
They're selling more albums than pretty much anybody.
That's insane.
And tickets. But yeah, I would say the Academy is would probably be like, I mean, they weren't that underrated, but they were like...
But they weren't a big, like, a Fall Out Boy or...
Yeah, exactly. And I think they had phenomenal music. I listened to it. I went through all their records recently and just like...
Almost Here is still my favorite, but I think Fast Times has some really...
Yeah, it was a little more like pop, a little sleeker, but still great.
I'm a fan of that band. And I'm just... I'm a fan of that whole Fueled by Ramen scene, but I'm a little bit older than you by about 33 years. So I'd say the drive-thru scene was my cup of tea with the Newfound Glories, the Starting Lines.
When I first visited L.A. when I was 18, I stayed with the founder and owner of drive-thru.
And now he manages Nothing But Thieves.
The guy's got good taste.
He's done well. He graduated, too.
Yeah, seriously.
And also this band called The Rex that is not signed either, but they play them on pop radio now.
Dang.
Pretty wild. Okay, so I'll open up for Nothing But Thieves. So we're going to jibber-jabber for the next few minutes, and then we're going to go into just your experiences being on a major label. It's kind of crazy that Fueled by Ramen is now major.
Yeah.
Because they started off as Vinny from Less Than Jake in his dorm room, and now he's not even affiliated with it. So it's just crazy how things change. And something that a lot of people listening might not know, you write stuff on your own as well.
Yeah.
That's not for Floor, so I'd love to talk about that. And just in general, your thoughts on fried butter. So just think about that for a few minutes, and we'll get back. We are back with McKinley Kitts from Floor.
What up?
And over this short commercial break, we were talking more about Fruity Loops. So if you want an endorsement, send your socials to them right now, because that might work out.
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the cereal.
Oh, shit, dude.
We have some mixed communication going on.
Well, that's the story of my life.
Take your...
Is that the Nickelback version of story?
Everything I sing is a Nickelback version.
That's awesome.
Whatever the song was.
I never made as a wise man. So my favorite cereal is Frosted Mini Wheat. So you're in...
Kind of lame.
Fuck you, man.
What's your favorite out of all the crazy, wacky flavors there are? Your favorite is Frosted Mini Wheats.
I like vanilla ice cream.
Like, what's your favorite drink? I like
water.
Beat me to the punch.
What's your favorite food? Spaghetti with nothing on it.
That's actually like me in high school. I was a very picky eater. And then Scott introduced me to Persian food.
Damn right I did. And now your whole world is a change.
It really has. We got Lebanese last night, I told you.
You are basically the Middle East in a bucket. And when I look at you, I'm like, damn, you definitely personify that side. You're going to be written up in the Muslim registry. All right. So before we get cut, let's talk about you write stuff on your own. Let's talk about writing, because a lot of people listening, I'm sure, write songs. So how does that process work for you? And how is it different from being collaborative with Floor? Is Floor not even collaborative?
I do some guitar diddling for Floor, but honestly, it's kind of the best situation for me because Zach, our singer, like writes all the stuff on his own, and I'm a huge fan. So I basically get to play guitar in a band that I think is one of the best bands out right now.
Wow. This is his first moment of sincerity on this show, so this is really nice.
I mean, the record isn't out yet, but it's really...
It could
really
be a good year for you guys.
It's a really good record. So for me, it's great. I don't have to have the emotional stress of creating for a project like this.
Or singing live.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all on Zach. Poor Zach has all the pressure, but he seems to thrive underneath it because he writes amazing songs.
It's awesome. Well, I bought the 4-song EP and I showed you like, there's an EP out. That was your reaction to me, and I was like, who are you?
We had more songs to begin with, and when we signed with Fueled By, we had to like kind of reconfigure everything. Mm-hmm. So those few songs will be gone soon, I imagine.
Bye bye
4-song EP.
Well, it's not gonna be deleted from my phone. I was talking about this the other day.
So you think Apple can do whatever they want?
Well, that's what they did with U2. It's just you wake up one day and you have a U2 album on your phone. That might happen with Floor, dude.
I would never let that happen.
Or you would only
the backlash was so bad.
That was pretty bad for
like,
them.
U2 like overnight went from like, you know, like
selling out Rose Bowl in 4 minutes to selling it out in 6 minutes.
Exactly.
That was rough.
What a hit to take.
For them, honestly, they had to have
the internet is ruthless and people don't like things being pushed on them, so like that it was a bad publicity.
The internet wouldn't like anything. No matter what, there's always a hater. It's like someone is giving out what's something everyone likes? Ice cream, right? Ice cream, like
yeah, that's I would say that's a good more specific.
Okay, happiness, more money.
I don't know. I don't write very good songs, but I'm happy. Do you?
I write happy songs about happiness. No, most of my songs are from like death perspective.
Yeah, really I thrive under misery, so I typically try
creatively, not in general.
Yeah, just creatively.
Yeah,
that's all that really matters.
That's true, except for you know the songs about ice cream. Okay, so I'm just like getting back to this tangent that we're on about another tangent.
Oh, sorry.
What's some? No, dude. That's how this show thrives.
Okay, perfect.
So something that everyone likes, like let's just say, like pizza. Okay.
Okay.
People are like, what the fuck, man? You're giving me free pizza? They're oppressing me. People would find ways to bitch about it.
Yeah, if there's a system where you woke up and somebody else had put pizza in your kitchen, you'd probably be like,
it's pretty invasive.
Exactly. But it's I think that as much as U2 is beloved by so many people, that was a little much.
Yeah, I guess it really hurt their career. I'm never going to hear anything new from U2 ever again.
Don't be snarky. It was like a lot of young people.
No,
were
people got
generally
pissed.
Really pissed off by that.
No, people were pissed about it, and I wasn't pissed about it. I just wanted to know how to delete it.
I didn't have a cloud thing set up, so I didn't actually get the record. I don't think.
Oh, I woke up.
But I bought it.
Oh, you did?
No,
I'm kidding. I was about to say that. I showed them.
Ha.
They're not going to do it for free for me. I'm going to spend my money.
I bought it on vinyl.
I bet you. And you proved that point. And Bono's like, who the fuck is this kid? And that was my Bono accent. Do you want to hear a Bono joke? It's really bad.
Is it the clapping one?
What's that?
I don't know. You tell me.
What's the difference between God and Bono? God doesn't spend each and every day trying to be Bono.
Oh.
All right. So you're right on your own. Let's get back to that. What's that like?
Yeah.
And I heard that you even dabble with some country.
Yeah. I'm actually listening to a lot of country. Kind of grew up.
Your sweater shows.
Yeah, I'm wearing Kacey Musgraves. Also, if you've ever listened to Kacey Musgraves, I think she's kind of like the best contemporary top line songwriter there is right now.
Wow.
Straight up.
Okay.
It's like kind of like Taylor Swift when she was younger, but it rings more authentic for me.
I was going to use that word too.
Yeah, she's just great. But anyways, yeah, so a few years ago, I decided to start just like recording on my own because that's like technology has made it so much easier for young people to record their art.
On Logic though, right?
Yeah, I use Logic, which is an Apple program. And that kind of changed everything because before it used to be like I'd write a song on acoustic guitar and like maybe record a voice memo and then I have to spend like $500,000 going to a producer. And now I can just record bad songs on my own. Mm-hmm. So you can write 20 songs and most of them...
But you don't have to pay for it.
Exactly. So you can just kind of like pump stuff out. And like if it's not working out, you can bail on it because the song's not that good. It's not that big of a deal. So yeah, being able to record on my own has like really helped me.
Do you do that a lot?
Yeah, and then also like just like production stuff in general. As I picked it up, like I do some like mixing for like some TV shows and stuff. Just kind of honestly, like, just having a laptop and some software like, has opened up so many doors.
It's pretty wild. I mean, you used to have tens of thousands of dollars to do what you could do right now with an iMac.
Yeah, and all the best music right now, honestly, like new artists are kids in their bedrooms and laptops it's making insane. Amazing records.
And records. Yeah. Records on their computers.
Yeah, and a lot of people will be like, I hear a lot of like older people complaining about like no good music and like, well, there's just so much to sift through. And I was like, yeah, but like the cool part about that is someone that maybe doesn't have the best voice in the world but still has something worth saying can like alter their voice a little bit. And like, mm-hmm. I mean, autotune, whatever. Like it can make them sound tolerable. And if they're writing good songs, then I'm okay with hearing some autotune. It's really like opened up the floodgates and there's more to sift through, but that also means there's more gold.
No, there's so much good music out there. This year alone, there's been some incredible... I don't know if you heard this album by this band called Microwave, but...
I have not.
Do you like Weezer?
Yes.
Check out Microwave. There's so much good music and there...
Even Weezer, their new...
The White Album. I love it.
That's honestly my favorite Weezer release. Like, I'm serious.
Well, that's sacrilegious, but...
I know that, but I stand by it. I love their record.
No, their new album is really, really good. I'd say it's maybe their sixth best album.
to each their own, but I listen to it front to back and like, I just love the record.
It's catchy.
It's really, really good.
No, I'm a fan of the White Album. I really am.
Surprisingly, though, a lot of people would have been like, oh, Weezer has a new record. But, yeah, no, but it was amazing.
I love it, and that just recently came out. There's so many really good records that come out, and I feel a lot of people are trapped in their high school days. It's like, nothing good came out since, like, my senior year in high school, and that's because you're just not looking. You're just a bitter person. Listen to Idobe constantly playing the fresh, alternative and rock. Hashtag sponsored. So you write on your own, and you're twiddling on the guitar for Floor. How has your experience been from, playing at home to being on a major label?
It's been great. There was, definitely things. I had to get better at guitar. That was, the first thing I had to do. Because I was always more focused on, songwriting and singing. And then...
Singing rhythm. Singing and playing rhythm.
Yes.
Singing the song Rhythm by Bill.
Rhythmically. But no, so it was, I had to get better at guitar. So I actually took lessons, which is kind of humbling because I've been playing guitar professionally since I was 17. And then I went to, I got a guy on Craigslist and took guitar lessons.
You know, I teach. That's fucked up. I know. Anyway.
This is when I was in Oregon. Actually.
No, it's fine. No, it's good that you took lessons. No,
I knew this was going to come up. I feel guilty.
you were dreading this moment the whole time.
I'm sweating so bad underneath Casey Musgraves.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that you're wearing a sweater in Los Angeles. Yeah.
But, yeah, so what was the question?
Guitar lessons and being in your band and your Fueled by Rama experience.
I mean, yeah, it's funny. Whenever I met people that talked about labels, it's such a polarizing issue because so many people would be like, it's the worst thing in the world. And so I was obviously a little nervous, but at the same time, I was like, it's a dream come true because what kid doesn't dream of that? And it was a label that I always wanted to be.
Listen, my old band signed to Columbia Records, and while there are pros and cons to every decision like that, I'd say the pros destroyed the cons. I mean, I will forever have that on my resume that I did that. I will have a record that was released globally and it was paid for by someone else. Like, just the fact that I wasn't responsible for the bill at the end of the day was thrilling for me.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's pretty insane. A lot of people are concerned, well, have they messed with you guys' artistic process? Have they had a lot of input? And before we even signed, when we were in meetings with them, they said to us, listen, our dream situation is a band that has a vision because otherwise we have to make it for them and we have to help supplement their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense. So
it's more work for them.
Yeah, why would they want to have to create a vision for a band? If a band has their own branding and their own identity, then wouldn't that be the dream situation? And bands like 21 Pilots, they've clearly had that vision since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the dream. So with that in mind, that is how Floor is. We've always had that vision and that drive. And because of that, the label has literally let us do everything we want our way.
That's the dream.
We just finished doing our first music video. And they sent us a list of directors, and we didn't like them. And so our manager, we told him what we wanted to do, and he made a treatment for the video. And the label was like, okay. And they gave us the money and let it.
Your manager directed it, too?
Yep.
That's awesome.
So they let us do it ourselves. Our singer had an idea of what he wanted. He told our manager. We directed it, and the video looks unbelievable. It looks amazing. So, obviously, there's,
That does not always happen.
Yeah, exactly. There's a risk there, but the label trusted our vision, even without knowing, since we haven't even released anything through them. And it worked out. And for the record, they not like
for the record
for our record we recorded. They we produced the whole thing ourselves, like our bass player.
Yeah, you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, we did the drums with John Fields, like Switchfoot fame. Mm-hmm. But everything else we did in Dylan's living room, our bass player, and they let us do that. Like, it's pretty amazing. Like,
yeah, I mean, your experience is not
typical.
No,
I mean, I wouldn't know, but because like, I heard so many horror stories, and like, oh, it's just been amazing. They didn't make us co-write with anybody. The whole record is written like in-house by us. And
I know the new 21 Pilots, I believe there was zero co-writing as well, right?
He doesn't. Yeah, and it's funny enough, Stressed Out was like the first song to break top 10 in like 2 years with only one writer.
That's insane.
And then he followed it up with Ride, which is the same situation. The only song they have, I believe, that's a co-write is their song Holding On To You.
Oh, the old, yeah, because there's an old hip-hop
sample. Lean With It, Rock With It, and the outro. So there's like eight writers because the hip-hop group is huge. But aside from that, yeah, that guy is, Tyler is a genius.
Anyway. Aside from taking songs from someone else, he's...
One time.
No, but he's done quite well.
No, he's brilliant. And, but yeah, so like Zach is...
Doesn't that intimidate you, though, if you're ever around someone like that? You're kind of scared you're going to say something fucking stupid.
No, we hung out with him. We had a show with him in Philly, and he's really into Super Smash Bros. And him and our singer, and so is my singer. He's like, my singer is like an obsessive video gamer. And they had a Super Smash Bros. Competition. And
who won?
Tyler beat him.
Like, destroyed him or beat him?
It was really close. But apparently new TVs have lag since GameCubes are made for, like, older, like, CRTs. And so our singer claims that if
God. What a little bitch.
No. He claims if he gets to play him on a CRT, it might be a different story.
Well, the rematch.
But no, they're both very, very good at that game. And I'm just trash. I play as Jigglypuff, and everybody apparently hates that. So
I'm not good at that game. I played that with a band that I used to be in. I haven't played video games since you were like breastfeeding, like, which is probably
it's only
recent,
been like 3 weeks.
Yeah, so I've been playing video games in like a fortnight. All right. So believe it or not, we're just kind of jiving through this pretty quickly. I would love to hear any public stories you have from besides this badass video game story from Tyler from 21 Pilots. Of artists or producers or anyone in the industry that you think are good for public consumption other than stories about your band specifically?
I think overall it's going to be – I mean, I have a couple specific instances, but people tend to forget that just because someone's a celebrity doesn't mean they're not a person with, like, a nuanced personality. And especially with how, like, clickbait media is right now, there's going to be something like, Halsey tweeted this, therefore this. And it blows my mind that you can live your life and, like, know, like, your teachers and your, like, fellow classmates or something and know that they're nuanced. But why is it that just because someone is famous and you read an article, you just assume that's how they are as a blanket statement?
You mean, well, sometimes they're put on a pedestal and
yeah,
sometimes
but also
it's the opposite.
Yeah, that blows my mind. So I've found that with every, like, living in L.A. and, like, once we signed our deal and started, like, meeting more successful people, whatever
quote
that
unquote.
Means.
Yeah.
Is that every single time they've been just, like, really cool young people that are making amazing art, whether it was like 5 Seconds of Summer or Halsey, like everybody has just been incredibly sweet and they're just like young people making art.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why people are so determined to like drag them down.
I'm not asking you to drag anyone. I mean, you should.
No, actually, yeah. The funny thing is I have nothing negative to say about anybody I've met.
I mean, I have, maybe it's because I'm a little bit more older and I'm a cynical Jew, but I have some, but I won't go specific now. I could tell you about it later.
I think my difference is that everybody I'm meeting is like at the height of their success.
And I'm just meeting people who are just miserable.
No, but I would imagine for me in a few years, maybe it'll be a little different. But right now I'm surrounded by people in their like late teens and early
20s. Up and coming.
Exactly. They're like they're experiencing success and they're watching their vision unfold. And that's pretty exciting for people.
It's insane. It's exciting for anyone. It's exciting for people around them, which is why sometimes the pedestal works two ways. But no, I mean, it's pretty great that at your age you've been able to, you know, hang out with 21 Pilots, let alone play a show with them.
Yeah, I was a big fan before I met them, so it was kind of funny. But they're just amazing people, just like kids that are doing really well.
They played, I saw them, like I said, at the Troubadour, and I saw them at...
That's insane, you saw them at the Troubadour.
I saw them at the Troubadour.
Last time I saw them was at the... Forum? Is that the one that's like 10,000 people?
Forum is where the Lakers used to play, like downtown. Not downtown, sorry, like around Inglewood area.
Yeah, that's where I saw him. So I can't imagine.
Was that the one with Mute Math?
You know what? I think I missed the opener, but I think it would have been that tour.
Well, remember that when you're an opening band on tour with 21 Pilots. But basically,
as far as
traffic was bad.
Yeah, it's traffic.
LA, man. Take the 405.
Take the 405 to the 91 California.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Yeah, man. Sorry, I was late. It was traffic. How long have you been in LA? About 33 years. Didn't know there was gonna be traffic today. No, 21 Pilots. I saw them 3 times. I saw them at the Troubadour, and I saw them at the Wiltern, and then I saw them at this arena in San Diego, and they, while they did play different songs, it was the same show, meaning like they're still who are they are.
They knew what they were going to be doing, and they had a vision for it.
When I first heard them, I said, you know, this band's going to do well. It's a combination of Fun, who at the time was huge, and Eminem, who, I don't know if you know this, is the most successful rapper of all time in terms of record sales.
That doesn't surprise me. All I had was Eminem records in middle school.
Everyone had your middle school collection.
I could pretty much sing along to the Eminem show, the whole record, like front to back.
America!
I never would have dreamed in a million years I'd see
motherfucking people
who feel like me, who share the same views and the same exact beliefs.
Listen to our next show on Idobe. Two Caucasians singing a Caucasian. So we've got a few more. Do you have any stories that you want to tell about this? I mean, your answer was an answer, but anything that's funny?
Let's see. We got robbed in Chicago.
That is not funny. Yeah, I think I texted you about that. Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's unfortunate. But it's funny. How about a story of like people being really cool?
Yes, that we want to be uplifting.
So Flora's first real tour was with two bands called Coin and Colony House, and we were doing like a little East Coast thing with them before we joined in the Halsey tour, which was like a really good warm up, and the shows were great. And so we never met these bands before, and immediately they were super sweet. But about like 10 days in, and this is before we were signed, like a little over a year ago. And we were in Chicago, and I parked my van. It was a little too far from the venue. And we came back, and somebody busted out our window and took, like, 4 Gs in cash from my backpack, my passport, my laptop with every song that ever
recorded. Just before you're about to go to Europe to tour.
Yeah, it was before Canada and the U.S., and then we did Europe a couple months later.
But still.
But either way, they took all of our cash. They took our GameCube.
That must have done wonders for your singer.
I was, like, it helped him. I was, like, half an hour away from beating Majora's Mask on Nintendo 3DS.
So well, that's definitely the biggest tragedy of the whole thing.
So it was devastating, and it was, like, probably, like, 20 degrees. And the next show was in Minnesota. So we had a window missing. We didn't have time to get it fixed. But after the next day, this isn't actually – I don't know if it's like supposed to be public, but Coin, they had sold out the show in Chicago, and they gave us the entire sellout bonus for the show to like help with our window. And
that's
help
a beautiful thing.
Dude, I cried like a baby. Like I was so stressed. I was like driving home – or I was driving back to Ohio from Minneapolis, and it was like 15 degrees at 3 a.m. because I didn't want to park the van because we didn't have a window. So I was like, I'll drive overnight to Ohio, right, where I know someone. And I was like, I think about it honestly like once a week. Like, they were like a pretty small band, like playing small rooms, and they sold out a show in Chicago. And that's amazing.
And they gifted it to you.
And they just gave us the money.
That's a beautiful thing.
And I never really, I didn't know like how to handle it. I was like, do I like post about it online? I don't want to like that. So I've never actually talked about it publicly.
But you
before.
Just did just now.
Yeah, I think about it a lot. And there's not a lot of things, like, I'm a pretty, I like move forward a lot with things. And I don't dwell. And like, I guess if I'm going to dwell.
Well, that resonated though.
Yeah. And like, I think about those guys so often. I should probably just text them, actually. But
No. Just keep thinking about them. It's kind of like when you call someone and they're like, oh, yeah, I was just thinking about it. I was going to call you, but you didn't.
If they ever text me, I'll be like, I'm thinking of you. Because I always
I'm thinking of you.
But no, that was such a moving thing for me. And like,
do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No.
Okay, well, there's an episode about someone who makes a donation, and they do that specifically so they could have their name on the wall. And then there's some people that don't do it.
Is it Larry David making the donation?
Larry David talks about it. I'm not going to go into great detail, but Larry David is always right. So, I don't know. What you're doing and what they're doing is just like a charitable deed in an altruistic fashion. They're not asking for fanfare.
They never talked about it, never like even said anything.
Just a nice thing to do.
They just gave it to us, and that was that. And that's like...
Well, we're into the advice section, so my advice to people listening is to do good deeds and not necessarily post about it, but I would love to hear any advice for someone that wants to break into writing, producing, or being in a band besides don't do it.
That's what I was going to say.
Damn it, I hijacked your brain.
Man, this is like my answer has changed so much over the years because I thought I was having success when I was 20, when this, maybe I wasn't necessarily. And like maybe now I feel like I'm having success, but what will I say in 2 years? But I think overall is there's like so many details like how you can have success, whether it's like blogs or whether it's getting a good tour. But good music rises to the top. And no matter what your branding is or your marketing is, if it's not backed by really good songs, then
you're DOA, kind of, right?
Exactly. And like some bands will have a moment just because like they are really good at branding or like their sound is really like hip for a second.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you just got to write songs. Write 100 songs and keep 5 that are amazing.
Right.
That's the only way.
I mean, William Hung isn't big anymore because the novelty wore off.
But even for bands that are serious, like, or like more serious, like, it's hard to stick around, and the ones that are legend, like every band that's legendary right now, is because their songs are amazing. Because
they have a catalog.
Yeah, and it's amazing songs. And so, I think it's a Kanye quote. It's like, lock yourself in your room for a month and make 3 beats a day.
You hear about his quote recently?
Yeah. Don't even want to.
Yeah, exactly. But Dan looked at me. When Dan looks away from his phone into my face, I know I struck gold with words.
But no, that quote actually, like, apply that to songwriting or beat making if that's what you want to do.
Whatever you want
to
do.
You just have to do it, and you just have to write a lot. And then experiences. I mean, everybody writes differently, but I find that just doing things, getting out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I know? Because my singer doesn't, like, he's a lot more of a homebody, and he writes.
He's a homebody, but he's experienced things.
Yeah, he's lived in that van with me for a long time.
On the road, you definitely, I mean, just think about all those pop punk bands with songs about
pizza and friends.
Pizza, old friends, and being away from people. Anyway.
But no, just writing music, honestly, like, and trying to get the best songs you can.
So just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not like just keep trucking in a van because, like, you know, there's a lot
no,
of
No, just
there's
keep
a lot
trying to progress as an artist.
Yeah, exactly. The artistry is what is the most important thing is. And if you're like a genuine artist making like music that makes people feel something, then people ask me, like, how do you get a manager? I was like, listen, there's a band that released their first song a week ago, and they already have like a big manager because their song's really sick, and someone heard it on a blog, and someone signed them.
Mm-hmm.
If you make really good music, people want to work with you. So it's like, how do you get an agent? It's like, well, we got an agent because our music's really good. Straight up, like, this is how it goes. And I know it sounds kind of like hubris a little bit, but it's not. It's just like there are a lot
the
of
right people heard it.
Yeah, exactly. And like blogs are a great way to have that happen. Like we signed with an agency because our music was cool. We had an agent before we released a song.
Yep, that's true. I remember.
So just write your music and don't throw something out there until you know it's really fantastic.
Well, this interview is fantastic. High five to that.
I'm really sweaty, sorry.
Well, now my hand is covered in bile. So thank you for that. McKinley Kits, please give a few of your links to your personal pages so that people can follow you.
My Instagram and Twitter are just at McKinley Kits. McKinley, like the president who was assassinated at the World Fair.
Shitty day.
Yeah, it sucked. He was like just shaking hands, doing a meet and greet. That's when back in presidents would just do that, and somebody pulled out a gun and just capped him.
What the fuck, man? So why are we ending on such a downer? So what about Kits? What's positive about your last name?
It's really short.
That is true, and it's plural.
It's like a short tree.
McKinley. I mean, you could totally run for president someday with your name.
You know, I've actually been recently was like reading a lot of like presidential facts, and dude, they're all so much taller than I imagined. Like,
mm-hmm.
And like tall,
larger
like,
than life.
Like even Trump is a tall dude. I didn't think he was. He looks like he's like 5'9".
I think he's like 6'1".
He's like 6'2", maybe.
Really?
Obama is like 6'2" as well. I think.
Wow.
Like these are big guys.
Well, that's another reason why when – I don't know why I'm pointing at you. But that's another reason FDR, a lot of people didn't realize he was in a wheelchair because, you know, they didn't want him to be not larger than life.
Yeah. And so my point was I'm not tall enough. I'm only 5'10".
With the internet, you could be – and you could wear Docs. Okay. All right. That's what I used to do. I used to wear Docs when I was going on dates. No. Anyway, so Waldman's words. We're going to have a few voice cracks, a few more guests on soon. After this, I know that I'm interviewing Kevin Miller from the band Mirror Eyes just before I go on my honeymoon. I'm also interviewing Hunter from AFI. So life is good. Listen to Floor. Even if McKinley doesn't listen to his 4-song EP, I do. And
I have the whole record, man.
Why you got to trump me with your own music?
I got a Dropbox file full of magic.
Shoot. You should leak that stuff. Anyway. Thank you guys for listening. Have an awesome day and a safe holiday.